Welcome everyone to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
Today, we are going to get deep. And I don't think we've ever actually gotten this deep before on this podcast, but Tiara and I have both experienced something called repressed emotions. And for those of you who don't know what repressed emotions are, it's basically emotions that we are not consciously aware of, or we are consciously aware of, and we just shove it into a box and throw away the key, or it's just emotions that we are either intentionally or unintentionally avoiding because it makes us feel uncomfortable. And we both have experienced, I would say that our experiences are different because I experienced them at a much younger age versus Tiara now, but repressed emotions can affect us and our everyday lives. And we just want to bring awareness to bring awareness and also bring caution, I guess, because it's a very cautious thing. And a lot of people typically hear the word repressed emotions and they usually go running for the hills.
So I do want to add that repressing your emotions is a protective mechanism. It's something that's done subconsciously. So there's repressing the emotions, which is more of like involuntary. It's just something that typically starts in childhood. If you've had what they are now calling an adverse childhood experience, or perhaps you grew up in an environment where it wasn't safe for you to express your emotions or for you to be emotionally vulnerable, or perhaps it's something that you weren't taught. So what happens is the childhood mind says, oh, okay, it's not safe for me to express my emotions. Let me repress those because that's what I need to do to survive. And I mean, for the most part, when you're a kid and you're growing up in these very destructive environments, that's effective and it works for you. It's when you take that into adulthood and then try to survive outside of what was originally a dangerous environment, that repressing your emotions becomes a problem and an issue for you, because it affects almost every aspect of your life. It affects your perspective. It affects your ability to feel and be vulnerable and tap into deeper aspects of yourself. And what's crazy about that is that you still act upon those repressed emotions, especially what they're telling you about yourself and what they're telling you about existence and how you need to live and how you need to act. And I don't think many of us really realize that. And I know that I didn't realize that either. Now, you might hear us talk about both repressing and suppressing. I guess depending on your perspective, like, you might view them as the same. I personally do think that suppressing emotions is different than repressing, because suppressing is more like something that you do intentionally. You know this is something you're doing because you intend to come back and deal with emotions later, versus repressing, which is something that's just automatically done and you're not really consciously aware of it. So I just wanted to add a little bit of clarity for those who might think that they're experiencing something similar. And I'm personally convinced that a lot of us have either repressed emotions or suppressed our emotions to some degree. Like, I think it's quite common, honestly. It's just, you know, when you get older and you start doing some of the deeper work, and especially the shadow work, if you have repressed emotions, that's going to be something that you need to look at, because you need to get to a place where you start to process and find and release that stuff, because it's not healthy. It also affects your health, which I'm also learning.
I was just about to say it's definitely not healthy. Repressed emotions are feelings that are unconsciously avoided, ignored, or blocked. And yeah. it can affect your mental and your physical health. And I can tell you, for me personally, I repressed so many emotions from my childhood because that's what I felt like I had to do to survive. And I'm just curious how many other people feel like they have to repress their emotions as a form of survival.
Oh, I think it's so, so common. I think it's very common, especially if you had trauma or abuse or some other type of adverse experience as a kid. It's almost a given that you're going to repress some aspect of these to survive. You know, a lot of people repress memories, especially if they're traumatic memories. In addition to repressing the emotions, some people dissociate. And then when you dissociate, what you're doing is you're distancing yourself from the emotions. And then if you combine repression with that, then it's very destructive to the mind and to the psyche. So, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about this because I think there are a lot of people who can relate to this and might be able to see themselves in some of our experiences. And ultimately, like, that's what this is about. That's what this podcast is about. That's what our community is about.
So I would say for me, the repressed emotions definitely came from a lot of my backstory. From just growing up in a very small town with closed-minded people. And unfortunately, I went through a period of severe bullying and I didn't know how to navigate that. And I don't think that many kids know how to navigate that. And unfortunately, bullying back then, like we're talking about late 80s, early 90s. And I don't know how, but I have read that bullying somehow has gotten worse.
And that is insane to me. Well, and I think a big part of that is because you have social media and internet now, which just exacerbates it. And it's so pernicious and it's terrible. Some of the things I've read about online bullying. So I think that's a part of that too, is that now we have greater access to other people and we can do it anonymously. It's just terrible.
It is terrible. And I wish our education system did more to address it and to do something about it, because it just was mind-boggling to me that the schools, like the principals, my guidance counselor, people knew that it was happening and they did nothing to stop it.
You know, I don't understand that either, because it doesn't seem like the schools want to get involved if there's bullying going on. And that has never made sense to me. Like, isn't it your job to provide a safe environment for the child to learn? Like, I've never understood it, ever, why there isn't more done at the school level when it comes to bullies and bullying.
And it affected me greatly, so much to the point where I repressed all the emotion and I decided the only way for me to survive was to shut out the rest of the world and only focus on myself. And yeah. I feel like that is a very common thing. Like, I've met other people who have had similar backgrounds as me, who was heavily and severely bullied. Mm-hmm. And they all said the same thing. They were just kind of like, yeah, we just kind of shut down. And that's the only way we knew how to survive.
Yeah. You know, I was also bullied. And, you know, I don't like to compare bullying, but like I always try to kind of did this thing where I would minimalize it. I was a very shy, quiet kid. And so when you're shy and quiet and reserved and, you know, you don't interact much, like you're a target. I don't know why, but you certainly are. And so I was a target often. And I'm fortunate that I did have friends. And I actually had a couple friends that did come to my rescue a few times. But at that point that I was getting the bullying, I had already started like that repression process. And I think maybe that kind of helped with me being able to deal with it and handle it. Because at that point, I was repressed enough that I didn't even mention it to anyone. I didn't mention it to my parents. I didn't really mention it to any relatives or family members that I was being bullied. I had just already gotten to that place where I was disconnected.
Oh, I didn't talk about it with anybody. And it's so crazy because I even think that my parents, at least my mother, knew, and she didn't even talk about it with me. It was like really wild.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was really, really wild. And it's just basically because I had so many repressed emotions, like I just didn't communicate with anyone. I didn't communicate with the school. I didn't communicate with my parents. I didn't communicate really with my family. Like I just didn't communicate with anyone because that's what happens when you have that many repressed emotions. It's a trauma response. And I was in freeze mode. I was in freeze and flight mode. I just didn't want to talk about it. And I wanted to run away far away from my problems.
Absolutely. And I think that that's quite common because I know it seems like a lot of kids who are bullied don't really mention it. They don't mention it to anyone, not even to their parents or siblings. I think it's quite common that oftentimes when that happens, that people just shut down, which is sad. It's really sad.
Well, I think that's just one of the things that happens when you have so many repressed emotions.
Yeah.
And when we don't process them, we unfortunately grow up with all those repressed emotions. But as we get older, we get more responsibility and responsibilities, and then our life gets a little bit more hectic, and then we have mm-hmm. less time. And then all of that stress that's just bottled up inside, it starts to manifest in some really freaky deaky ways.
Yes. For me, like once I got like into my late 20s, all of the repressed emotions started manifesting as health issues. And, you know, obviously I didn't fucking know that. So it was always like going to the doctor and like medications and, well, why is this happening? And then the doctors were always like, all right, well, let's run all these tests. Can't find anything. Here's drugs. And so that started when I was in my late 20s and has continued to this day where, you know, all these health issues have manifested with no cause. No doctor seems to be able to figure it out. And here I am just getting to this place where I'm like, oh my God, I think this is all a manifestation of repressed stuff. And that blows my mind.
It's so funny how doctors, that's really the doctor's only solution is here's drugs. It's so wild to me that even in today's day and age, that's still the solution. I actually try to avoid conventional medicine as much as possible. I'm not saying that it doesn't serve its purpose. It absolutely does. But I avoid them at all costs. If I can find an alternative medicine healer, I will always go that route first, unless it's something like I need an x-ray. Like, obviously, yeah, I know I need to go to the hospital and get an x-ray. Like, I'm not naive about it. It's just I have my preferences and I always go with my preferences first, unless it's absolutely necessary.
Oh my God. I got so frustrated with doctors. So frustrated, because, you know, especially when you have, full disclosure, I've had issues with hypertension that no doctor has been able to figure out, and like high hypertension, like where they're just like, oh shit, you need to be on like 5 drugs. I've had heart scans and renal scans and tons of blood work done, and, you know, it always was nothing. And so eventually I just got frustrated with conventional medicine. And I was like, I've been doing this for years. I'm so tired. I'm tired of being picked and prodded. I'm tired of being excused or, you know, dismissed because there were doctors that were like, oh, it's because you're Black. And I'm just like, no, it's not. There is
more
here.
What does that even mean? Oh, because you're black. What does that even mean?
Right. So in traditional medicine, it's very well known that African Americans have, on average, higher blood pressure. Like, they have more issues with blood pressure. They have more issues with, like, sodium retention and kidney stuff. It's just a well-known phenomenon. So, of course, you know, when I come in and I'm African American and the doctor sees me and they see high blood pressure, they're just like, oh, it's because you're black. I literally had a doctor tell me that. And I was just like, no, there is more here. There is more here. I am telling you there is more here. You need to do more. So he was like, all right, well, first, let's try these drugs. And I was just like, you know what? At that point was when I was like, I'm so done with conventional medicine.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I've actually been trying to get TR to see alternative medicine people for maybe the past 8-9 years.
Right. And it took that level of frustration before I was finally like, you know, fuck all you guys. Now, I'm like what Ali said earlier, I still fully believe in conventional medicine. I think it has its place. I still go for my physicals yearly. And what's the other one? The pap smear that we all hate yearly.
Yep.
But yes. When it comes to some of the other stuff, like the more chronic stuff that they just want to throw drugs at, that's when I'm like, all right, well, let's explore if there are other healing modalities that might help this.
I would say that learning everything is energy, including our bodies, emotions, everything is energy. It makes sense why we should be turning to alternative medicine healers, because they are able to read the body in ways that conventional medicine, they can't do it. It's like, that's why kinesiology is just one of the greatest things ever, because I went to go see one, I think, when I was 15. And I was having, like, my body was responding to repressed emotions, and like I had black and blues all over my body, and they were just manifesting out of nowhere. And I had no idea what was going on. And of course, we went to go to the doctor. They took all this blood and they were like, yeah, all your blood work's fine. You're fine. But you clearly have black and blues on your body. So here's drugs. And my mother was just like, no.
Oh my God, I love that.
And I'm so happy that my mother had the foresight for that, because I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correctly, this was a long time ago, they wanted to put me on steroids.
Oh, and
my mother was just like, no. And then we went to go see a kinesiologist, and she was like, yeah, you have an autoimmune disease and your body is responding to the amount of stress and emotional trauma. This is how it's manifesting. And then very rare autoimmune system. And so she put me on this very strict diet, and she obviously, I did maybe 3 or 4 sessions over the 2 months that I was on this very strict diet. It went away and it's never come back.
That is unbelievable. And you know, I'm convinced that autoimmune conditions like that can be stress induced, because I have seen countless stories of women talking about how they've worked really hard, or girl boss, or like, you know, climb that corporate ladder, working, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, get to where they want. And now they are manifesting health issues like autoimmune diseases, for example, or other things. And I'm just like, there has to be some type of correlation here.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that, like, this is a perfect example of what repressed emotions and stress can do to the body.
So for me, repressing emotions started quite young. Again, you know, and I've mentioned this in other episodes about how I grew up in an environment that wasn't emotionally nurturing when it came to emotions, especially grief or grieving. No one did it. And so as a child, you just sort of like internalize that, and you're like, oh, well, I'm not supposed to do it either. And so you get to this place where your mind says, okay, well, to survive and work in this household, we need to repress. So that's what I did. And that started really early. I want to say maybe like when I really started doing that, 6 or 7 years old. And so as I got older, like a lot of my perspective was very logical and it was very analytical and mental because that emotional aspect and part was repressed. Now, I will say that if you live in the West, especially, we exist in a society that's already very logical. There isn't a lot of emphasis on emotional expression. So you can do quite well in life in this state, like you can. And I ended up working at a place, fantastic position, by the way, but I ended up working at this place where a lot of the people that were in that leadership were all type A's and, you know, go-getters and just fantastic, successful people. But I also could tell that a lot of them were like me, especially when it came to like some of those traits around emotions and repression. And some I could tell that in some of them it was manifesting as health issues. It was like we were all just like peas in a pod. So as I started tapping into my emotions and trying to release some of the repressed stuff, it has been overwhelming. Now, I don't mean that to scare anyone, but there is a process that's done when it comes to trying to feel those suppressed emotions. And I didn't really know much about this. I don't see a lot of talk or chatter around dealing with repressed emotions or how to go about it or what that experience is going to be like. Before I started doing this and I needed to have an emotional response, I usually felt one of two things. I would either feel angst or stressed. Like those are the two primary emotions that I would feel. What I have discovered when it comes to digging into and trying to feel emotions again is that underneath that, there usually is an emotion. It's just an emotion that I've been so disconnected from that my mind can't identify it. So I've had to do a couple of things. I've had to learn that some of the angst that I'm feeling could be tied to another emotion. And then I have to figure out what that emotion is. In addition to that, I have noticed that when you start doing this, the emotions are overwhelming because, again, you haven't felt them for a long time. So some things that I've noticed have come up, especially things like anger or resentment or even happiness. Like, I have been overwhelmed where I'm just like, is this normal? Like, I don't know because I haven't felt them for so long. So there have been a couple times where I've noticed I've been feeling something and been overwhelmed by it and then realized, oh gosh, this is just part of the process. Let me just take a deep breath. And I can remember one example. So I have a cousin that I go and pick up on occasion and he gives me money or he buys me tacos, which is fantastic. I'm like, hey, you need a ride and you want to give me tacos? Perfect. We have a deal. So I was picking him up and he was telling me about how he used to act in the past, in particular when it came to getting his car registered. So I'm in California, registering your vehicle is not cheap. And he was telling me that he wanted to get a license so that he could drive. But what he did not want to do was pay for the registration. And I was like, oh, so you're just going to drive around without registration? He was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, to each their own. I'm not here to tell you what to do. He mentions that in the past or back in the day, like years and years ago, he would actually take the plaque, the registration, like the sticker off the back of the car, off the plate, and steal it. And then that's how he would register his vehicle. He would just steal someone else's thing.
Oh my God.
And when I tell you, I got so angry, like viscerally angry. Like anger, I don't think I have felt in a decade. Like so angry. And I remember saying to him, that is so fucked up. Like, right there. Like, that's fucked up. And he was like, well, no, it's not. And I was like, no, because You can try to justify that any kind of way you want, but if someone did that to me, I would be very, very upset, and you're fucked up. And I was ready to rip his head off. Like, no joke. I had to catch myself because he was like, whoa, 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 okay, okay. And I was like, oh no, Tiara, bring it in, reel it in, reel it in. So that's what I mean when you start going into some of these emotions, like you feel them heavily. So it's been a little difficult for me to regulate. And I noticed that I'm often emotionally volatile. And honestly, when it came to that situation, I don't even know if that was an appropriate emotional response. I was talking to my mom about it and she was like, yeah, you kind of went overboard there. But I'd be curious to know, like, if someone told you something like that, is visceral anger an appropriate response?
I think that's a little extreme.
Okay. I wasn't sure. So see, that's why we're having this conversation. I'm learning. But, you know, it was a very interesting experience. And I'm learning that there's a need to regulate some of the emotion that's coming up.
That's the thing about tapping into those repressed emotions. It is not an easy process. And I know for me personally, the best way that I knew how to deal with it was to try to prioritize and compartmentalize that, like, the emotions, because that was the only way I knew to unpack all that stuff that I've been repressing for a good, I don't know, 20 to 25 years.
So when you say compartmentalize, like, what do you mean?
Well, I knew what was down there. Like, I was quite aware of what was down there. I mean, obviously, there were periods of it, I'm sure, that I had forgotten. I would say that a repressed emotions affect people in different ways. And for me, I don't know why, but my memory, like, vastly improved. And I really wish that wasn't the case. I actually wish it was the opposite, where people just, you know, forgot. Because forgetting has its, you know, there's pros and cons to both. But for me, it's like my memory improved and it's like I just could remember everything with every little detail. And it was like irking me, like how good my memory was around all of my trauma. And so for me, because my memory was so good and I knew what was down there, I had to figure out a way to not release it all at once. So I kind of prioritized the things and then, you know, worked backwards from there.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. For me, I've just sort of been letting things come up. And I notice I haven't really had to do much. Like, interesting things have come up. And I guess it's kind of been something similar, where typically what I do is, if I feel something, I try to identify this specific emotion and then try to figure out what it's attached to, if it's a specific situation or if I was treated a certain way, and then try to make sense of what happened and then find peace in it. And I'm going to be honest, finding peace in some of these things is not easy. It's sort of tied to the story you tell yourself about it. Because the story you tell yourself about some of the things that happened to you is so, so important. And so that's sort of how I've been going about it. And then sometimes if it's just something, I say silly, but I don't know how silly this is. Like, I see a flower. This literally happened to me when I was at the farmer's market. I saw a flower and I thought it was so beautiful that I was like emotional. Like, I was going to start crying. And I was just like, oh my God, this flower is so pretty. And I was like, hold on. I don't know if this is appropriate. Reel it in, TR. Reel it in a little bit. It's okay to admire. Just, you know. So sometimes I just let myself feel things. And like, you know, if it's something like that, I'll try to not get too crazy with it and freak people out. But I do let myself feel the emotion and enjoy the emotion, especially something like that, like an emotional response to beauty. But I would say it's probably similar. It's just there are still a lot of things down there I don't know, and my memory hasn't been the greatest. So I do intend to get additional support at some point, but I'm not digging and looking for anything necessarily, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I think it's important for people to feel their emotions. I think between the societal programming and also the insecurities that we have within ourselves keeps us from looking at the emotion. I would say that a lot of people avoid it. It's because we have to analyze ourselves, and we have to analyze our self-worth, and we have to analyze our behavior and how, you know, people look at us and how people respond to us. And none of that is easy.
It's not easy. It is not. And, you know, it's definitely not an easy process. But I will say, I know that for a lot of us, there's a lot of fear around doing this kind of work and like seeing what's down there. And, you know, there's a lot of things down there that we don't want to see and feel. But once you start doing it, it's really not that bad. Like, yeah, sometimes like fear comes up. But the thing about fear is that fear is really a very irrational emotion. Like, now, obviously, if you're in the wilds, like fear has its purpose. Like if you're trying to survive predators, for example. But we don't exist in the wilds. We exist in this contained society that programs us away from ourselves. So when it comes to some of those fears, I've realized there's a need to determine whether or not the fear is rational or not. And for the most part, like a lot of the fears haven't been. So that's also been a very interesting process.
Can you elaborate on that, like irrational fear? I think that's intriguing.
Oh, yeah. So in my upbringing, I sort of intuited. Now, no one has really said this verbally, but I grew up in a household that didn't deal with grief. Like if someone died or got murdered, because that did happen in my family, we sort of acknowledged it, but there wasn't a lot of crying. There wasn't a lot of grieving. I remember one specific relative. We lost a loved one that was very, very loved, very cherished, especially by me and my sisters. And I remember talking to her about it and being sad that I missed the funeral because I was living in another state at the time. And I remember her saying to me, oh, well, you know, these things happen. You just throw them in the ground and you move on. And I was just like, what? So that's what an example of how we handled grief in my family. The underlying reason for that was because, and again, this is just something I intuited, that there was this belief that if you show vulnerability or even emotional vulnerability, that somehow makes you weak and that makes you a target. And I had to sit with that and say, is that a rational fear? Is it a rational fear to not grieve or, you know, deal with or cry because it makes you look weak and vulnerable and makes you a target? Is that rational? I don't think it is. But not showing grief and not doing that is tied to fears that are like that, if that makes sense.
It does. It's so interesting.
It is. It's very interesting. And I think that there are irrational beliefs and fears like that that contribute to the ways that we deal with our emotion or suppress them or repress them.
I do think that this is very common amongst the population. And I just am curious how many people talk about it or are in tune with it, because having repressed emotions is a problem because it affects us. It affects our mental, it affects our physical. It can manifest in multiple ways. And, you know, it is important that we take care of our bodies because we really only have this lifetime. And who knows when we come back, or who knows what our life will be like when we come back. And it's like you have to seize every incarnation as it comes. And I know that there is a lot of work that needs to be done during each incarnation for many, but it's just, if we don't take care of our bodies, then it's just like, why are we here?
Yeah, and you know, when you start doing it, like, especially, you know, trying to find some of these repressed emotions, I've actually found the process to be very interesting and very intriguing. And I surprised myself a little bit with some of these emotions. Again, things I just haven't felt in so long coming up. And I'm just like, holy shit, I am an emotional person. Because for a long time, I was like, well, I'm not emotional. And like, you know, I can watch this and do this and be fine. And, you know, it won't bother me. But actually, that stuff just gets repressed, or it's being repressed. And that's why you have that kind of response. But it's nice to know that, you know, I do have feelings and I do have emotions. And I actually have not minded this process at all. Like, it's not nearly as scary as I thought it was gonna be. Now, at some point, I do plan to like do the more deeper stuff, like the past life regression, get a little bit deeper in there, just because I think there's some things in there I can't reach consciously. Now, that's not to say that they'll never come up, because sometimes the stuff does. But some of the past life stuff that I know is there, I think I need assistance with. And initially, yes, I was absolutely terrified of this process. And, you know, Allie talked about that on another podcast about how much I pushed back and ran. But I actually am curious to know what's down there and to feel some of that. Because personally, it's interesting to me. And I like being able to feel again, like I do.
It's interesting that you say that, because a lot of people who unfortunately have mental health issues, going back to conventional medicine real quick, their solution, their first solution is, let's start you on antidepressants.
Yeah.
And although I do believe that conventional medicine certainly has a place in this world, it absolutely does. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't believe in the way that they treat people, because it's just, especially in the United States, it is fueling capitalism and the pharmacy companies. And that's always been my really big issue with it, because I have been to many other countries where you walk into a pharmacy and you say, hi, I need this pill. It could be something as simple as a antihistamine. And something in the US would be like $20. It's like $3 in other countries. And it's just so mind-boggling that pharmaceuticals cost as much as they do in the United States.
Oh, it was so easy for me to get drugs. Like, I had been seeing so many doctors for so long that I sort of learned that there was a process to doing it and how to do it, to the point where I would go to a doctor and I would be like, can you prescribe me this? I need it for this. And they would just give it to me. Like, that's how easy it was. Now, I've never personally been on any mental drugs, like, or antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs, but I did consider it. I did. And I do know loved ones that rely on some of these. So I know that it serves a purpose. And I know that for many people, like, it helps them function daily. And I get that. I just know for me personally, like, and I think Allie too, if we could avoid going the drug routes, that would be, you know, preferred for us anyway.
For me personally, it's absolutely preferred. I remember when they tried to put me on antidepressants, and I actually like only did it for a couple days or a week. It wasn't long, but I was getting worse. And I remember asking my doctor at the time, they're like, oh yeah, it will get worse before it gets better. And I'm just like,
God.
No thanks. I'm gonna try something else.
Like the depression got worse?
Well, yeah, but I also got like, I was physically ill from the pills.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just, I think everyone has a different set of needs. And I think that the body responds differently, because I have seen other doctors that it's just like, okay, well, this is what we prescribe you. And I'm just like, just because it works for, you know, I'd say 80% of the population doesn't mean that it's going to work on the other 20%. So like everybody has their own individual response to doctors, drugs, remedies, psychedelics, whatever it is. It's just like everyone's body is unique to them. And so you have to find your own formula. It's not about what the doctors know. It should be about what your body is telling you. Because the body knows how to heal itself.
Right. And, you know, I wish I would have known to push back on some of the doctors back in the day. Like, I didn't have the fortitude to do that, because at the time I was like, well, you're the expert, you know best. And I honestly think that caused more harm than good. And, you know, the thing about medicine, especially something that I learned when I was navigating endometriosis, is that you have to be your own best advocate. Like, the doctors are not necessarily going to advocate for you. Like, yeah, we think that we can trust them fully, that they know best and that they know what they're doing, but that's not always the case. Like, you have to advocate for yourself. And sometimes that might mean getting a second opinion. Sometimes that might mean not taking the prescribed drug, or that might mean looking for a different drug or finding a different doctor who might be more willing to listen. Like, there's just a lot of things that I wish I knew then that I have realized and know now when it comes to navigating traditional medicine.
But I'm happy we're having this conversation, because I think it's all tied together. I think it's just, we're all just trying to survive, and there are people who are doing the healing work, and there are people who are not doing the healing work, and there are people who are running, and people who want help, but like they just don't have the means for it right now. There's a lot going on on the planet right now, and unfortunately, the stress levels are high, people are burnt out. It's just, I think a lot of people are just feeling the heaviness of it all, and they're saying to themselves, there has to be more to life than this.
Yes. Yeah, and there is. And that's why we have a community, because we know what that's like.
We do. I was saying, like, that's why we wanted to come on and kind of share a little bit about our histories with repressed emotions, because I know we both have experienced them and we both have our own different ways of working through them.
You know what came up that I didn't realize was there? I mean, yeah, it's always been there, but like, when it comes to my twin soul, a lot of times, if I had emotion tied to him, it was negative because of how things ended, which, you know, is understandable. But I've realized that underneath some of the negative emotion, like, there's other stuff there. And, you know, I was just reflecting on one of those and thinking about him. And, like, I realized that some of the angst that I was feeling toward him was actually underneath it concern and worry about how he's doing. Which is crazy. It's crazy. That's always been there. It's just, again, when you repress things, like, it gets kind of muddled. It gets buried. Sometimes other emotions get buried on top of it, so you don't quite know. But that came up, and I was just like, oh, shit. I do actually deeply care and love him.
So if you are listening, you know.
We always wonder if he's listening. You know who you are.
Sorry, that sounds very cryptic.
It is, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I'm just saying, like, we don't purposely mean to be cryptic.
Okay. Well, I just thought that was a very interesting, you know, experience, and still having those, still a lot of stuff, so I'm sure I will have plenty more to share.
Yeah, it's just been, I've reflected a lot about this topic because repressed emotions isn't really something I've needed to address in a while. I've suppressed emotions in my adulthood, but in terms of all that repressed stuff, I really worked through a lot of it in my mid-20s, early 30s, even mid-30s. So it was like a decade.
And for those of you guys who are like wondering if this is something you should consider doing, it's something you can do and start at any age. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. This is a process that you can start doing anytime. Now, I personally recommend doing it with a specialist or a therapist or a counselor because they're going to know the best way to go through that or about the process. But I know that not everyone has that means. So it is something you can do on your own. I just think that you need to be compassionate towards yourself. You need to take your time with it. You need to understand that sometimes you're going to feel overwhelmed by the things that come up. Sometimes you're not going to quite know why you're feeling what you're feeling. You're going to probably feel a little volatile. Sometimes you're going to have to learn how to regulate your emotions. It's a full process, and you just have to be patient, show yourself compassion, take your time with it. And if you have a support group or someone that you can talk to about what you're experiencing or going through in this process, that'll be very valuable too.
Tiara's absolutely right. I think that's really important for anyone to know. It's never too late to start working on yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important message. And I think that's a great way to end this episode.
And it's not that scary. It's not. Like, it's seriously not as scary as you think it's going to be. It's not. Now, if you know you have severe traumas, I highly recommend you get support for that. Like, something, someone, because that's going to be very difficult to navigate through on your own.
It certainly can be. I would have to say it really kind of also depends on the individual. Because I know for me, I absolutely got help. Like, I did hypnotherapy and I did EFT. However, I also did a lot of my own processing.
Yeah.
And so it's not impossible to do it by yourself. And I don't want that to be the message. You have to seek help. You have to do with what feels right. And we are not qualified to tell you what feels right because I don't know. I'm not in your body. I don't know what's going on with your emotions or what's going on in your head. It's really important for you to make the best judgment call you can.
Absolutely. Okay. What she said.
So, thank you, everyone, for tuning into this. And yes, our community is open and we really want to see you guys there. We have, as you know, throughout the year and a half of our podcast, like, we are quite open. Tiara is an open book and we have a lot to share in the community. And like, we have both done a very large amount of healing. And so we have something to offer you guys and we want to hear your stories. We want to hear what you're struggling with because there's a very high probability Tiara and I have been there at some point.
Absolutely. And you know, the community is meant to be a place where you can seek out not only support, but also tips and additional resources or, you know, perhaps recommendations for additional resources. So You know, it's more than just a place where you can go to find soul tribe or soul family. We're also there to provide you guys with tools and tips to help you navigate your own journey.
So thank you, everyone, and have a great week.
All right. Thank you, guys.